This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
On November 3rd, election night, I ran a three-hour program on the Bards FM Podbean channel with some very special guests. The second hour featured Scotty Sachs, a longtime radio personality who's grown up in the industry and has seen both the inside and the outside of how the media system works, including firsthand experience with the Mockingbird Media. Scotty Sachs is also the host of Sovereign Radio. Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson. I am the director and producer of the war documentary, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything. And you are listening to episode 145, live stream, Election Day with Scotty Sachs. No matter where you live, you're facing some real challenges right now. There's too much unrest and uncertainty. In some spots, it's not even safe to go to the corner store, and that makes getting food a problem. If things don't get better, will you have enough food to eat in the weeks and months ahead? Many folks won't. But those who act now and get at least 4 weeks' supply of emergency food shipped to them fast will be the ones that are secure. That's why I strongly recommend My Patriot Supply, the only source I personally use and trust for my emergency food preparedness plan. You should too. They're the go-to experts in emergency preparedness. Their mission is your survival. Right now, save $100 off a full 4 week supply of their tasty meals that supply 2,000 calories a day. This will save your life if food disappears from the grocery shelves again. And saving $100 is impossible to pass up. So go to preparewithbardsofwar.com and get ready now. That's preparewithbardsofwar.com or click on the link below. Do it today. I read this today and it's just so correct. It's the statement that we could have been born anytime. We could have been born 2,000 years ago, but we were born today. And we were born today to be part of this, every single one of us. What a powerful statement. We live in a time when our gifts that are given to us by God are truly being used at their fullest. And I've said this so many times in the past podcasts where it doesn't matter what your gifts are. If the gifts are repairing a car, or you're a good baker, if the gift is that you're just a great person at the church, or you're a networker, it's whatever those gifts are. Now is that time as a patriot when those gifts mean so much. It's about building community, building bridges, helping one another, truly bringing the love and the spirit of America alive. And that's what it's going to require for all of us to build this nation. We're going to be challenged. I don't mind saying it. There are some issues of temperance coming at us that we're going to have temperance and grace like off the charts when we have to deal with a lot with the craziness as they awaken. And I'll be first to admit that's not going to be the easiest thing to do. But our step today is historic. We're taking a step and pushing back against the greatest powers in modern times. And it wasn't the power of military. It's the power of nations, the power of global institutions and organizations that have waged an information, economic, educational, political war against our nation, against our people. And we're standing up and fighting back through the power of vote, to the power of information, to the power of information dominance through social media. I mean, that in itself will be looked at as one of the greatest wars in human history. And we're all part of it. It's not like getting the newsreels from World War II. We are on the front lines every day. And that's what's so incredible that everybody just needs to absolutely hold dear. Our next guest is Scotty Sachs. Now, Scotty Sachs is the host of Sovereign Radio. He has a longtime history in radio. In fact, he grew up in radio and media and knows more people in that industry than probably anybody alive currently. He's worked on programs that have on the advertising side of media he's worked with Mercedes-Benz, Toshiba, Sony, HBO, Nissan, Timex. I mean, just an amazing array of things. His dad was a media person. He's worked with the Johnny Cash American Folklore, which is 200 radio stations. He's worked with James Brown Live. He's just really a big name in the media, the back end of media, especially the networking, the marketing, the building of these programs, and currently runs Sovereign Radio, which I'll be honest, I'm totally honored. He's included a monthly, or I guess every week, there's a feature for Bards on there as well. So let's see if we can call Scotty and get him on the line. Scotty, you there?
Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Patriots, welcome Scotty Sachs to the show. Scotty, it's so great to have you on. How are you?
Scott, it's a privilege to be with you on the live stream tonight. You're a true leader in our movement. You're a patriot, certainly evidenced by the call tonight from Michael Flynn and your interview with Archbishop Lugano. And as I mentioned to you, I have a source that made it very clear that you were chosen by the Patriot Movement for that interview. You are a leader. You're providing great direction to the people as to what we need to be doing moving forward and for the second term. And I appreciate all that you're doing, and it's great to be with you.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. Scotty, tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave a little bit of an introduction there, and I don't know if I did it all justice, but your resume is extensive. You've been in media. You've seen both sides. I mean, you've been on the inside of media. You've been in the media kind of in an epic era, and now you're seeing this other thing. I don't even know what we want to call it. I mean, I think what President Trump called it was a special interest group, which is probably true. Tell us a little bit about your background in media and then what you're seeing today.
Sure, Scott. Well, it started at 17. I had the great fun and privilege of traveling with my father, who was a TV producer. And at 17, I was sitting in the offices of Art Linkletter, who was a great television producer and great talent himself, and watching how television programming was conceived, how it was funded, and how it came together. Watched the entire process from the conception of the TV programming, how it was written and produced, how they funded it through sponsorship and advertising, and how they distributed it through syndication. So I saw the whole process at 17 and actually went to college knowing I wanted to be a part of broadcasting. Of course, back then, when I started in the business in 1980, I had no idea what I was getting into in terms of an industry that was already bought and paid for. I didn't know that. Frankly, didn't really have confirmation of that until 2014. I can come back to that story of how I knew in 2014 I was working in an industry for decades that was bought and paid for by the central bankers. And my work in the industry has really been all-inclusive of pretty much anything you can do in television and radio. I've been involved in producing and syndicating programming. I think I heard you mention Johnny Cash and James Brown. As a young guy, I got introduced to the right people because I had the connections and ended up producing television shows for and radio shows for Johnny Cash and James Brown and sports programming, and really got firsthand up close with the people in the industry, how they worked, their modus operandi, and most importantly, you referred to the back end of the business. That's where I really cut my teeth on the advertising and sponsorship side, working with the management in broadcast media, both television and radio, watching how they operated in terms of funding their programming, because of course nothing happens in broadcast television and radio until there's a sponsor. Programs don't make it on the air without prior commitments of funding from generally the big Fortune 500 advertisers. So I've seen everything in the process from beginning to end, and I think the most significant event in terms of my awakening, personally realizing the industry I was working in was terribly controlled, everything dictated to television and radio stations from both a programming point of view and a news point of view, and how the news is directed by, frankly, the CIA. We all know about Operation Mockingbird back in the 50s. The CIA admitted to Congress they had infiltrated the news. Both, all of broadcasting was infiltrated by the CIA. They started to place CIA operatives into the mainstream media. And of course, we know today, guys like John Brennan, James Clapper, they're on the air. They're part of the messaging. But the specific event worthwhile telling is Michael Brown hands up. You recall that event in 2014?
Oh, yes, very much.
Yeah, so I happened to be at CBS the day after Michael Brown's story broke. He had been shot and killed by the police. The messaging was that he was a good kid. He was on the rebound. He had been involved in small-time street peddling drugs, was a drug addict himself, but they say he was, you know, in recovery and he was on the mend and he was doing the right thing in society. But the truth is he had just come from a convenience store where he did a small-time drug deal, nothing big. When he was confronted by the police, who were called to investigate his transaction at the convenience store, he lunged at a police car and the policeman and actually went for the gun. They had five eyewitnesses, all African-Americans who lived in the neighborhood, who told the police Michael Brown attacked the cops, and three of the five specifically said he went after the policeman's gun. Back to CBS the next day, I was with the news director. Back then, they wore two hats. They ran the programming and the news side. I'd gone to lunch with him. He's a friend of the family. And we came back to his office. We sat down, and he picked up a memo on his desk. And he started to swear and cuss. And of course, I asked him, what's going on? And he said, well, I sent my best reporter and cameraman to Missouri. I think this was the St. Louis area that this happened, if I recall. And they have sent the footage, and I just saw the footage. And I know the truth from the eyewitnesses. The memo I'm holding is nothing but the truth. There are talking points in the memo. I've been instructed by the men who run this TV station that I will produce a story with these talking points, that Michael Brown was a good kid. He had his hands up. He was surrendering to police. And they absolutely shot him in cold blood with no reason. And when I asked him, where do these talking points come from? He said he'd tell me, but he'd have to shoot me on the way out of his office. So he wouldn't tell me. And I prodded him and nudged him before I left. He finally told me they came from a three-letter agency. And he said, you know, it begins with a C. So he knew these talking points were coming from the CIA. So everything we know about how the news is controlled, how the messaging is created. You know, they're the greatest storytellers. You're a great patriot storyteller. They are great devious storytellers. They are masters of communication. They have indoctrinated everybody who's watched mainstream media that has not, you know, broken away from that. And still a percentage of Americans that are relying on broadcast television, cable news, you know, what they hear on the TV and radio, what they read in the newspapers. We understand the messaging is controlled. And yet, you know, we have today this election, which we'll see percentage of voters, much smaller percentage, we know, than what Trump will receive. But there are Americans still believing that Joe Biden's experience is enough to put him in the White House. So, you know, we have a battle on our hands with the media stat. We still need to take care of that. That'll be, I think, in Trump's second term. That is on my agenda to work to shift and change the media, bring it back to truth-telling and to a sense of integrity that has been missing. And that's already starting, Scott. We're seeing the antitrust suits from 50 states. The attorney generals in 50 states have filed antitrust suits against big tech, Google. The broadcast networks will be next. So just as the telephone companies were broken up back when we were young people, we will see the antitrust suits break up the media. We'll see civil suits. Those are happening. The young man from the Catholic school, I believe his name is Nicholas Sandman, he has won his first two lawsuits against the media for defamation. He's the young man that was in Washington, D.C. with his class. He was standing, waiting. I believe they were waiting for buses, and the older American Indian guy was beating the drum in his face. You recall that event?
Oh, yes, and, very much. Yeah,
he has won his first two suits. So we'll see antitrust suits, and I believe we'll see criminal lawsuits. I believe there will be a few. I don't know exactly how many, but I believe people like Rachel Maddow, perhaps an Anderson Cooper, a Don Lemon, people who have been very much a part of delivering the message. So not only will there be broadcast executives who have created the structure controlled by the big money, Wall Street, and the central bankers, but I think we'll see some on-air personalities that we've come to love. We will see some of them, I believe, in criminal lawsuits. So it's going to take time, but I believe, Scott, the good news is the industry I've been working in 40 years that's been bought and paid for by the powers to be that are behind Joe Biden, you will see them taken down. So that is the good news, and it might take a couple more years, but I'm sure it's on President Trump's administration's agenda to be a part of that.
Scott, you just got back from Mexico, and you've had an opportunity to really see the COVID experience, which I think we can all generally agree is pretty much a fake pandemic. But you've seen it now from one of our southern neighbors across our borders. Tell us a little bit about what's going on and how that's restricting life or how it compares to what's going on here.
Well, in Mexico, I believe the masses are pretty much focused on their day-to-day life. You know, life is tough in Mexico. The typical Mexican worker is working 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And they're struggling to put food on the table for their kids. You know, they have big families and they're working hard. And they're not really plugged in, I believe, the way Americans have plugged into the truth. So I think they're largely still asleep. You know, you see T-shirts like "Build Tacos, Not Walls." There's a lot of F Trump T-shirts that are sold. There's toilet paper with Trump's face on it. So they're really asleep. They're really not generally plugged in. And, you know, moreover, I don't think they really care, Scott, about politics. I think they've accepted their fate, that their government is corrupt. They're controlled by a very small group of corrupt officials. And they don't really have time, frankly, to get involved. So we may need to, you know, help our neighbors. We may need to help the Mexican people. We may need to help some Canadian people. There's a lot of work we may need to do, because they really are an important part of shifting and changing our world.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, when we're in...
But you know, Scott, the world is awake in general. I've never seen the interest in this election from the rest of the world. I have friends in Canada, Australia, South America, Eastern Europe, Turkey. I've talked to all of them. They're all hyper fixated on this election, because they understand as we go, the world goes. If we succumb to the deep state, the left, the Democrats, and the, you know, folks that control Joe Biden. Of course, I think he's irrelevant, even if the Democrats had the muster to win tonight, which they're not going to do, but I think he's irrelevant. But I think the world understands the point being that we are in a very critical election here, that we are going to lead the way, that President Trump is considered their president. I've had Australians, Canadians, Eastern Europeans tell me President Trump is their president. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. There is no question that I think for a large percentage, well, for America as a whole, but in particular for the 80 to maybe 100 million Trump supporters, it's very clear that we are literally the point of change for the world. We win, the world goes towards light. We lose, the world succumbs to darkness in a way that we can't imagine. I think it's hard for people to imagine that happening, but I would just point this out that in a survey that I did earlier today, and I think it's fairly telling, I put this up on Twitter, and my question was, the point is that would you accept the, I'm looking for the, here it is. If big tech and mainstream media news declared Joe Biden the winner, will you accept their decision? Now there's been 1,994 votes on this. Granted, that's not a massive sampling, but it's more than mainstream media does. And I also know that my base is very pro-Trump, but nonetheless, that's 95.9% of the people responded hell no. So we're in quite an issue here because we know the corruption; it's been exposed. We're accepting the fact that they're doing everything in their power to try to flip this election, and the voices of truth that your radio show, work that I do, the many people you put on your show, the hundreds of patriots out here, the thousands of digital soldiers, probably millions, all know the truth. And we know that it's literally a place that they are going to try to flip this election and shove it down our throats. And that really, I'm hoping that the left wakes up to the fact that there is a seminal line, a red line that we are now at, that there is no other way forward but to accept that they have lost. But as the letter from the Trump campaign has indicated just yesterday, it's going to be a pretty brutal and ugly end. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. This is not going to be pretty. They're not going to accept it. There is, I don't believe, any chance that tonight the mainstream media and big tech will declare President Trump the winner. I believe their messaging is going to be, we need more time to count votes. The votes are not all in. Even in a landslide, which I have confidence in a very good margin of victory tonight, by as much as 2/3 of the popular vote, I believe there's that much sentiment against the current system. I believe there's that much support for President Trump, but I agree with you. They're not going to accept this sitting down. They've got, Biden has, I heard, 600 lawyers that have been employed.
And that's where all resources. Yeah, it's probably where all his campaign money went. Instead of doing rallies, he just hired lawyers.
Exactly. They certainly didn't field a great campaign. And I would agree with you. There's probably been a lot of money earmarked for the legal side of this. And they're going to be filing lawsuits tonight. The mainstream media is going to say, hold on. This is not done yet. There's votes to count in Pennsylvania. I think they're going to use Pennsylvania as, you know, as the marker. And President Trump's been very vocal about that decision the Supreme Court made to allow Pennsylvania to delay the vote tonight. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a brutal fight and will prevail. The truth is going to prevail. You know, this is like no other election, Scott, as we know, that we've ever seen. First of all, we have a president, a man whose charisma, his character, is his performance, his job performance has captivated not only patriots, but people who are on the outside, on the margins. I know plenty of people who are not supporters in the way, in the sense that you and I are, but went and voted for Trump. I can tell you anecdotally, people like my sister and friends who from Chicago, where I grew up, they're all Democrats. Chicago is a Democrat city. We grew up dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. We never thought twice of that. That was just the way life was. You didn't question. But they stepped outside their comfort zone and stretched enough because President Trump's personality, his charisma, the things he's done, they understand that he's looking for peace, not war, that he's great for the economy. They understand he didn't create COVID and he can't flip a switch. So I think we have a man running for re-election in a personality we've never seen anything like this before. This is so unique.
Well, we've seen a candidate on the other side that can't rally more than about 10 media people. I mean, this is insane, right?
No doubt. I think Biden's lackluster. I mean, he's the antithesis of our president. You know, he really he can't command the attention, the respect, and has no ability to motivate. I think the man has, you know, many issues, whether it be his alleged criminal activity as vice president. It's alleged at this point, but I think we know the truth. His performance, 47 years, what did he do other than the Clinton crime bill, which was not good for this country or for the African-American community? So he's a very flawed candidate. But, you know, beyond the president, what makes this election unique, as I said, the rest of the world has eyes on this like never before. I've never had friends in other countries call me and tell me, we're rooting for, you know, for your guy. That is such an anomaly in the history of our politics. It really goes way beyond politics, doesn't it? And as you and I have talked about, the other thing that's unique, there's a great sense of awakening and that we're in a spiritual war. This is goes beyond, way beyond politics and issues, and speaks directly to the core of who we are as people in terms of the spiritual side of our lives. And the spiritual war is raging, and we've never gone into an election with that sense of spiritual war, have we? I don't recall anything like this.
I don't ever remember anything like this. I think what you pointed out is the global level of this, right? Even Reagan, which was a pretty amazing era, and I would not having grown up in the JFK era, another amazing era, but nothing at a point, and part of it is in no doubt the interconnectivity of the world through social media, but nonetheless, for the world to be rooting for President Trump. You know, I've said this before, and I think we've talked about this on your show. I don't remember, but President Trump has about 82 million followers on Twitter. Never in the history of anything that we've known has a president been able to tweet out 165 characters or whatever, 265 characters, and change the stock market by 300 to 400 points. I mean, this is literally a man that can send shockwaves across global markets with a single tweet, and at the same time rally patriots across the globe to do what they need to do to fight. I mean, he literally has become almost the president of the world.
Exactly. And to that end, there's never been a president, perhaps there's never been an American, and I'll go that far, who can control the media and the messaging. He's the most brilliant public relations guy I've ever seen. He was a master media, I'll say it, media. He manipulated the media when he was a businessman. He knew how to get front and center. Of course, his show, the TV show he had, I forgot the name all of a sudden. It's what happens when you turn 60. What was the name of the show? The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, that program was not just number one in the ratings because it was a real slice of life and reality TV. And, you know, reality TV is a big deal now in media. Most networks have some sort of reality TV because we love, as people, we love to peek in to other people's lives. So not just that Apprentice was one of the first great reality TV shows that had a very long shelf life, but President Trump as Donald Trump, the host of Apprentice, was an absolute master at communicating with the media, getting the media to shine the spotlight on himself and on the show. So as president, as you said, his 165 character tweets are just one aspect of his amazing public relations skills. He's front and center of the media every day. He puts himself out there. No other president has spent so much time in front of a TV camera and talking to Americans, talking straight talk. You know, he also has a language skills that really relate to the average guy on the street. He grew up in construction on job sites. He knows how to talk to people. So this is the greatest, not just politician, because he really has had a short stint as a politician. He's really the greatest master of media manipulation. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just he knows how to work the media and get his message out and shape the narrative the way he wants it to be. He's the very best I've ever seen.
Well, he's the only one I've ever known that can literally live in their mind free. I mean, he lives there in there. He owns more. He owns more intellect or cognitive real estate than anybody has ever seen, and they cannot get him out of their mind. And he's, as you stated, he's a master. It's like taking a sentence of complete. If you read the whole sentence, it's all true. And he'll intentionally take the first part of the sentence and he'll drop it just to get the media fired up and spinning around a pole. And then he'll come back and say, yeah, of course I said that. That's what I meant. And he says the whole sentence. And everything comes out always as truth. But the media just goes hyperspin on that first little phrase. And he just keeps them in a constant state of chaos. It's quite brilliant. It's the only way to break through the blockade that the media has put in place. That blockade, Scotty, is that something you've seen from your experience as relatively new as an evolution, or is this something that's been there the whole time?
It's been there the whole time. You know, we may not have paid attention to it, but in terms of how the media controls the narrative and the messaging, as I said, with the CIA having subverted and infiltrated the media, in terms of how program and news directors, the guys who are responsible for programming television and radio, editors at newspapers, they're all co-opted in the system. And, you know, I want to say, as it's been said about the FBI with James Comey as a bad cop, and many times, whether it be Sean Hannity or one of the other TV personalities, making it very clear the people who work for the FBI are good people. The 99%, it's the 1% in the upper echelon. And the same is true in media. The people I work with day to day in programming and the advertising sales side, which is the engine that makes everything run, the revenue side, they're all good people, but they're all co-opted. And if you look at the reality today, Scott, this blockade is a result of middle-aged, you know, and beyond men who run the industry and women who are in their 50s and 60s. And this is the only way they could provide for their family now. They're not in positions. The people running our media are not in positions to change career. It's not like they can wake up and say, geez, I'm in a really bad system. I'm in a crooked, corrupt, controlled media ecosystem that I want to get out of. There's no way out. If you're 65 years old and you know, in your late 50s or 60s, and you're running a TV station or you're a program director, where are you going to go? You don't know anything else. You've been in the business. The management, the executives of broadcasting, they're all long-term tenured people. And they're part of the system, and many of them willfully, but they're still good. Most of them are good people, particularly in the trenches of the business. And I want to make that clear, because it is a very controlled, the blockade is real. It's been there I think, Scott, it's been there our whole lives. We just didn't pay attention to it.
I think that's probably very accurate. And that's part of the awakening, is to realize how controlled this entire network was. Scott, I'm going to get your opinion on something, because you deal a lot with, a wide spectrum of patriot analysis and patriot thoughts. You've done quite a bit of work with some Q guys. You and I have had a lot of interviews. You've done some other great interviews with other folks. And so you get a pretty broad spectrum of that patriot side. When we look at this, we look at the Archbishop's interview with Vigano, and then we also look at like Lady Gaga, who's now kind of this, seems to be somewhat of a handler for Joe Biden. What do you make of all that? I mean, this is literally crazy, Bill. When we start looking at what's left of the A-listers, we've got, like I said, Lady Gaga trying to, Joe Biden kneeling before her in the picture yesterday. I mean, this is crazy, Bill. What's your thoughts?
You know, what really stands out for me, Scott, it's a great question, but I can't get past the grotesque part, the really sick part of everything, and that's the human trafficking, pedophilia, and satanic rituals. I've done a lot on our sovereign radio to that end, to expose the human trafficking and the pedophilia and even the satanic rituals, the adrenochrome. It's hard. It's a hard subject to cover, but that's what stands out to me. Ted, a former director general of the United Nations, on the show a few times. His name is Sasha Stone. He took the position with the United Nations to infiltrate them, to see what was going on, to find the truth. And they put him in the position of, it's for show, it's for PR in the human trafficking. They gave him a project to determine the structure and the supply chain, specifically, I don't know what else to call it, the supply chain side of human trafficking. How does this come about? Where do these people come from? The children, the women, the young boys and girls, how are they manifested? How are they trafficked? Who is the customer for this stuff? And the customer base and the engine that makes it run are the very people you're talking about. It's Hollywood, it's Washington, D.C., the central bank. This is a revenue, a dark money source, drugs and human trafficking. And that's what stands out most about the system, Scott. It's really the dark side, and it's so prevalent, as you know. You and I have talked about this. It is such a prevalent monster that it's overarching everything, and I really can't get past that part of their system that they've built.
Well, Scotty, here's something that I find very interesting. When we look back at 2016, and we see the list of A-listers from Jay-Z, Beyonce. The guy could read a list of probably 30 people from Hollywood. Not one of them is vocal in this campaign. It's not just that they're sitting on the sidelines. It's not a peep. We're not hearing night show hosts do their normal thing. Ellen DeGeneres, totally silent. You've got Oprah, totally silent. Even the extent of like Hillary, other than her snarky little comment the other day, silent. You have Nadler and you've got Schiff, totally silent. What do you make of that? I mean, that's pretty crazy if you think about it, right?
Yeah. You know, Scott, my sense of that is President Trump's executive order, December of 2017, which gave the United States government the right to seize the assets of people involved in human trafficking and pedophilia and crimes against humanity. I think because they're all involved. And unbeknownst to us, I believe the Department of Justice has been investigating this very matter. I think they're all a part of it. I think all those A-listers are, you know, we can't be sure that each and every one of them, but we have a good sense that they are involved in this, you know, these crimes against humanity. And I think they've all been shut down. I think many of their assets have been seized because of that executive order. And I think that's an overarching factor in their silence.
Well, I think you're probably dead on. I mean, that's really pretty amazing when we think about it, too. I mean, and it's one of those things that I point to when people say nothing's going on. There is a lot going on. We just don't see it. And then part of that is not just the fact it's hard to research, because it is, but the media is not going to give you a single bit of glimpse at this. They're doing everything they can to continually push your optics away. Consider this, and I don't know if I'm right on this, but I just find this very interesting. We know that Pennsylvania is a very critical state tonight. That's a given. But Pennsylvania is also a central hub for deep state activities. Gulen, the guy that can't even think of his first name, but anyway, Gulen, who was ahead of was part of the coup to overthrow Erdogan, right? He was also, it's just something I came across today, and it struck me how amazing these things connect. So Fethullah Gulen, who General Flynn was in the process of exposing because he was heavily involved in trying to overthrow the U.S. government, was given a compound in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is also the hub of massive organized crime. New York, not so much anymore because of who? Rudy Giuliani. And the connection with the mob in Philadelphia goes all the way back to World War II, when the CIA brokered with them to protect the docks to ensure that shipments would continue forward and they wouldn't be disrupted. So the question is really interesting is Pennsylvania a keystone to this entire network? And was the emphasis, these are just speculative questions at this point, but when we look at what's going on, President Trump didn't spend any time in California or New York. He spent the majority of his time in Pennsylvania. And in doing so, he put the world's eyes and optics, the entire digital army's optics, on Pennsylvania. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're spot on. I think there's, you know, several battleground states, as they call them, North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, but Pennsylvania is front and center. I can't probably articulate the reasons and all the reasons why it's such a critical state, but it must be. This is where the Democrats focus their legal work to extend the ballot counting. There's probably, I'd imagine, one of the issues with Pennsylvania is voter fraud. I think the Patriots know the voter fraud in that state, being a key battleground state, the state that was probably up for grabs at one point, although I think it will go President Trump's way, was probably a real, when this election, the campaign season started, Pennsylvania could very well have been a Biden state just because he spent so much time there. I guess he says he's from Scranton. I'm not so sure he is. But I think you're right about Pennsylvania. It's probably the state with the most, shall we call it monkey business? The most mischievous state. The voter fraud has probably really been rampant there, and the Patriots knew it. And they are focused on, keeping it an honest election, obviously.
Well, the other thing, too, that's worth pointing out, because Patriots have rightfully been very concerned about voter fraud, and it is happening. Even today in Pennsylvania, pushing away the ballot counters and not allowing observers in. But one thing to take to heart, and I hope all Patriots do, is we're seeing the corruption unlike any time before. And to be able to realize that for ballots that are being thrown away or disposed of to suddenly appear, the question Patriots need to ask is, how did that happen? And that happens a lot because whatever they've done for security measures are working. They are tracking where these ballots are going. Do you agree?
I'm sure. I'm sure they're tracking everything. I'm sure there's DOJ personnel involved. I'm sure there's voter registrars and whatever the election officials. I think all eyes are on balloting in Pennsylvania for sure.
Absolutely. So, Scotty, tell us a little bit about what your plans are with Sovereign Radio. I think that's just the whole concept you're doing there is powerful, and I think Patriots really need to hear about it.
Well, I appreciate it, Scott. Well, you know, Sovereign Radio is about exposing the truth of the way the world has been, the reality of the world, not the world that the mainstream media has created, trying to expose what's really gone on in Washington, D.C., and Hollywood, the mainstream media, the central banking system. And my guests are, you know, great, generally great patriots, people who have been inside the system. Yourself, of course, got a great source with Greg Jarrett, the Fox News legal analyst. This is a great patriot. He doesn't get enough credit. Greg Jarrett is, you know, on Fox News on a regular basis. But this is a man who fucked the mainstream media system. He didn't succumb to the pressures of being a part of the narrative, and he broke free. And he's staunchly independent. He tells the truth. He's the one who broke the wrote the book, The Russia Hoax. He really was front and center of exposing that. Got a guest he's been on and will be returning as the story unfolds. His name is Christopher Fulton. He is in possession of the most compelling evidence in the JFK assassination. He bought a watch from the JFK estate that launched him into a relationship with the Kennedys. He had a good relationship with JFK Jr. By the way, he does not believe JFK Jr. is alive. I wanted to throw that in. I know there's probably folks listening that may be more hopeful than truly believe he's alive, but Christopher Fulton is a great source of, for me, a source of inspiration. He spent 9 years in jail because he would not cough up the evidence to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton tried very hard to take possession of the evidence that Christopher Fulton's in possession of to keep the JFK assassination from ever coming to light. But he withstood the pressure. He spent 9 years in jail. He was tortured. He explained his 2 years on Con Air, as in con artist. They call it Con Air. They wake you up at 5 a.m. They put you on an airplane. They fly you up and down all day. Can you imagine, Scott, getting on an airplane and flying up and down all day, every day for years?
And this was his, was this his imprisonment?
Yes, while he was in prison.
Yes, it's a variation.
This is how they tortured him.
Yeah, this is what they, this is a variation of what they call rendition flights. Yeah, I'm very familiar with it. It's pretty ugly.
Yeah, I brought that up because I know you understand that and you understand the effect on the human mind, the human, you know, the, our physical and spiritual well-being. Air travel is a tough nut to crack if you've done it a lot. And so the future of the show is to continue to have guests like you, people who are inside, have been inside the system, people like Sasha Stone, former UN Director General, Craig Sawyer, who's an ex-Navy SEAL. He's boots on the ground. He's got a documentary out on the human trafficking and pedophilia. Can't recall the name right now. It's called Contraland. I would encourage your audience to look up Contraland, the movie. It is about the human trafficking and pedophilia. He's breaking up, literally taking Navy SEALs in cooperation with local governments. And the key, he says, is to find a DA that'll prosecute. So when they break up a pedophile ring, a human trafficking ring, when they bring the coyotes or the madams who control the kids, when they bring them in, you have to have a DA that'll prosecute. We'll continue to cover the shift in the financial system as President Trump works to shift from the fiat debt system, which has really enslaved the world, as we know. The impact of the fiat debt-based central banking system is really mind-blowing when you start to think about what it's done, what their financial system has done to Americans and folks around the world. The reason, you know, people need 2 and 3 jobs is because of debt. in the debt-based system we're in, as President Trump works to shift that to an asset-based currency, a sound money system. We'll continue to cover that. We will cover everything that unfolds as the truth comes out, everything from 9/11 to the JFK assassination, the political, geopolitical stuff that's going on, what's happening around the world. We're going to focus on countries like Venezuela and Cuba and get to the bottom of that system that, you know, most Americans don't really understand what's going on in Venezuela. Ask 10 people, do you know what's going on in Venezuela? I think 8 will tell you, I have no idea. Maybe even 9 out of 10 will say, I don't have any understanding of Venezuela. And it's a terrible tragedy what's happened to once the richest, wealthiest nation who had the most valuable currency in South America is now a very torn, very poor. There's bread lines. There's, you know, everything you see in a Marxist communist system, which is really why this tonight is so important. We know what they want to do to this country. We know where they want to take us. We know their agenda. We've seen it. They've written about it. And so that's what we'll cover, Scott. We'll continue to cover the shift and change in the financial system and the geopolitical system. And hopefully President Trump's second term will see sovereignty and freedom spread throughout the world.
Well, we definitely hope so. Well, Scott, do you have any last words today? I really appreciate you coming on tonight. It's been a great conversation.
You know, I'd like to close, Scott, with actually what you're doing. You and I just did an interview, I think about a week ago. This Saturday, we'll air the first part of that interview. Your podcast, County by County, is brilliant. It's really a roadmap to what we the people need to do in President Trump's second term. What's our role? What hat do we need to wear? And you cover that better than anybody. Scott, you have been really at front and center leadership-wise of forward thinking. What's next? What's next for us? What do we need to do in our communities and taking back our communities? As you and I have discussed, President Trump can only impact really the big picture. And he's doing a great job taking back our country and you know, freedom and sovereignty and all the things that go along with what President Trump's doing. But in our local communities, it's up to us, is it not, Scott? You cover this extensively in county by county, and I'll be very proud to air what will be a four-part interview with you on the Sovereign Radio Show that will outline the roadmap for what our next steps are. What do we need to do as we go forward in our local communities?
Well, I totally agree with you, Scotty. I mean, I think that when we really break the country down and we go down to what is it, the true legal law enforcement, which is our sheriffs, the power and autonomy that the counties actually have, and maximizing that for the benefit of patriots, I don't have any doubt that that's truly where our future is. And you and I have talked, and I'll be discussing more about it. When we break down a national map and we look at the map and we see that it's predominantly red county by county, that was a vote for President Trump. But when we really dig into that county by county, we've discovered that it isn't really as red as we thought. And that's really where if patriots focus all of their efforts locally, really on the county commissions, the sheriffs, the city councils, the mayor, and the school boards, so important. And there's in Oregon, there's also like an environmental water position, which is unbelievably in my county went unfilled. But these are such critical positions that people, it's part of getting involved locally, whether you are running for that position or whether you're a participant in the community meetings. It's just so important to be involved there. And I agree with you. County by county is the future. I'm grateful for the compliments you've given on it. And I'd hope patriots get a chance to listen to that series. And I have more coming out on that. But definitely, I think that's our way forward.
You know, we can't have this conversation, Scott, without inserting the impact of the CCP in China on our local communities. Little did we know that China was not only moving very diligently and very fastidiously in subverting and infiltrating our federal government and in impacting our universities, our governance, our even our sporting events. Look at the NBA and LeBron James's reaction to defending China. So we've got to address that as well as we look at our local communities going forward. And I do really believe, I don't say this because it's you that I'm talking to, Scott, I do believe county by county, that series you did is truly a roadmap for we the people in terms of how we need to move forward. So I'm grateful for that and look forward to airing it on Sovereign Radio in the coming weeks.
So, Scotty, where can we find you on Sovereign Radio? When and where is the station so Patriots can tune in?
The show is on Saturday mornings. It is 9 a.m. Central. It's in Texas on 1470 a.m. KYYW, sovereignradio.net. And we'll launch a podcast platform in January that will have all the episodes. So I'll look forward to that as well.
Well, Scotty, thank you very much. Patriots, do follow Sovereign Radio. And Scotty, I look forward to continuing our work together, and I hope you have a blessed night, and thank you very much.
Scott, it's a privilege to be with you. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you, Scotty, and we'll talk soon. Have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on Podbean at www.bards.fm. You can also find the Bards FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, and BitChute by entering Bards FM in the search bar on the respective apps or websites. Also remember to check out Bards of War Fighting is Everything documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. And if you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individuals only. Interpretations of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and Expedition Cafe are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. All work is owned and copyrighted by Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.